The message today is called The Important Tongue. And if you don't think your tongue is important, just try doing without it for a while. The tongue is very important. And a question that's been going through my mind is, why is our tongue so hard to control? This is actually a need in my own life, a very big need, and that is one reason why I wanted to speak about this subject. In my own life here, I feel like a lot of you all are a long ways ahead of me in spiritual life. And with this area of speech, it's one thing that I can really grow in. The thought of, controlling our tongue. And we say controlling the tongue, but really the tongue is just an outworking of our heart. It says things sometimes that without thinking, but we talk about controlling the tongue, but basically the tongue is just a window into our heart. I need three volunteers. Do we have anyone from like the junior or the primary class? I need three volunteers to come up here. Okay. I don't know all your names here, but Ethan and Jeremiah, and I need one more. Just stand right here. I need one more volunteer. Just stand up because I can't see your hand. No volunteers? Russell, you want to come up here? Kyle, you want to come up here? I guess you're in preschool, but you can come up. You want to come up here? You stand over here beside Jeremiah. These people look pretty serious, don't they? We've got Kyle here, he's got a hammer, and Jeremiah's got a big knife or a machete, and Ethan has a little fire, a little lighter. So these things are kind of like a tongue. The hammer here, Kyle, what do you use a hammer for? Okay. Is that a good use for the hammer? Okay, you can pound nails with it. And what else do you do with the hammer? You break windows? You break windows? Okay. Jeremiah, what do you use the machete for?
Cut plants.
Cut plants, okay. What do you use in Central America? Use them a lot more than they do up here, but in Nicaragua there, they mow the yard with them, and they cut grass, chop the grass on the hills, and they, what else do they do with them? Take them with them to town and eat bad people away, do all kinds of things with them, but then sometimes they take, they will use them in fights, and they can really do some damage with a machete. A strong man or a sharp machete can do some bad things. And Ethan, what do you have? What do you use that for?
Fire.
Okay. What fire is good or bad?
You light a house, it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, you light a house, it's bad. warm with it. The fire in a good way is a good thing. And fire in a bad way, little fires can burn big things. Okay. Oh, you can go back. Let me keep my question here. Thank you. So this little lighter right here, it has just a small little flame. And that small little flame here, like Ethan said, it all starts the same way, but a small fire in California in the forest will burn a huge amount of, do a lot of damage. It will burn houses, trees, pretty much anything it comes across. I'm not just in California, but anywhere it's dry enough. But then the same fire in Alaska, if you are caught in a snowstorm and you've got a cabin, you can light the fire in the fireplace and keep warm. So the fire has good uses. Also, our tongue has good uses also. Let's turn, James chapter 3 here. I'll go ahead and read the whole chapter here. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." It doesn't sound good for the tongue. "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Okay. Back to the tongue here. Did you know that the ancient Jewish language only had about 8,000 words compared to our modern English language? And I know there's a wide variety of, nobody really knows exactly how many words are in the English language, I don't think, but nearest I could tell, there's 450,000 plus words. Some people say as much as a million, and some people say half a million. I just kind of rounded it off there, 450,000 plus. But the ancient Jewish language only had about 8,000 words that the Bible was written in there. Um,
They, and so, yeah, I mean, they were able to express their thoughts with less words than what we do. Today we speak on average, this was done by a study at the university, this was a study done at the University of Texas at Austin. They put voice recorders on people. They had a sampling of people across a wider range of life to see how many words a day people speak. And there's a wide range on that too. But on average, it says people speak around 16,000 words a day. Women, men are real close. They do talk about different things, but they do speak about the same on average. People used to say that women spoke a lot more, but at least on their recordings that they did, it was close to the same. But, and there was a wide range of people on that too, but the least talkative person spoke about 500 words a day, and the most talkative person spoke about 47,000 words a day. So there's a wide range there. I know some people that would probably hit the 47,000 closer than the 500, and I know some people that would be closer to 500. But words are powerful. Words are very powerful. If they're used in a right way, they can be a tremendous blessing. Of course, what would our churches be like if we would only use our words for encouragement, for love, for kindness, teaching, instruction, motivation? That would be a positive use of words. We could really do something here. But unfortunately, I don't always do that. And words used in a wrong way can be extremely destructive. A lot like this fire, this lighter that I had here. Words used in a wrong way can be extremely destructive. Of course, there's slander, there's gossip, there's flattery, false praise, there's pride, there's mockery, anger, lying, deceit. These are negative uses of these words, uses of words. In the Bible, it gives some metaphors for various, metaphors for different examples of wrong use of words and some right use of words. And I thought it was interesting. I was doing this study yesterday, and I was studying for this. It says there's a metaphor called the rage of the tongue, and that's in Hosea chapter 7, verse 16. That would signify verbal abuse. It says, "They return, but not to the Most High. They're like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue, and this shall be their derision in the land of Egypt." Job 5:21 talks about the scourge of the tongue. Psalm 31:20 is a strife of tongues. Both of those would be cursing and wrath. Jeremiah 9 has a couple of verses there, and it talks about bend the tongue. That would be telling of falsehoods and deceit. You ever heard of somebody that has a crooked tongue? That comes from Jeremiah there. It says, "They bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord." And then 9:8 says, "Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth his weight." Psalm 140, verse 3 says, talks about sharpening the tongue, cutting, that would be cutting speech. "They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips." And then to smite with the tongue means slander. You can, to hide under the tongue would be to hide within wickedness. It's in Job 20, verse 12. Smiting with the tongue is in Jeremiah 18, verse 18. And in Isaiah 57:4, it says to stick out the tongue. And that meant the same thing back then as it does today. be more in a mocking way, stick out the tongue. And Isaiah 57:4 there it says, "Against whom do ye sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks?" Now, those are some metaphors here. The rage of the tongue, the strife of tongues, bending of the tongue, sharpen of the tongue, to smite with the tongue, stick out the tongue. Those are some metaphors the Bible uses there. And then also the tongue is an organ of singing as well. They can, in Psalm, it talks about using the tongue to sing and to praise the Lord. There's good uses and there's wrong uses for it. And I wrote a lot of these verses down, but I don't know that we'll have time to do all that. And but our tongue, it's an organ that we use to communicate with. It's a small, highly important member there. In verse 2 of James here, it says, "In many things we offend all." But it says, "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." Anybody that is able to keep his tongue under in subjection is complete. He can bridle other things if he offends not in a word at any time. James uses the illustration of putting a bit in a horse's mouth. That bit controls the whole horse. Use the illustration of the rudder on a ship. The small rudder controls the whole ship. And those little things control big things. And even so, the tongue boasts great things. The tongue, yeah, the tongue is a small member and it does great things. It says a small fire can burn big things, like Ethan had mentioned here. It can burn a house down. And sometimes our, for me, our tongue is controlled sometimes by our subconscious thought. And what I mean by that, the expression of we spoke without thinking. Well, yes and no. I mean, we didn't physically sit down and think, "I will say this and this and this." But sometimes we just say something. I do. I'll just say something. It seems like my tongue is hinged at both ends. And especially if I'm under pressure, it can, you can say some things sometimes that are not, that you wouldn't say otherwise. And so you say, "Well, you know, I didn't think. That was a slip of the tongue." But really, it's subconscious. It's a subconscious thought based on what is really in my heart. And our heart is deceitful sometimes. We don't always know. Sometimes there's things in our hearts that we don't really know that's there all the time, or we would say it's not. And so sometimes we can say things that is a slip of the tongue, but on going back and on doing a rewind, we can see, well, maybe I did have some things in my heart that I didn't know. Then, and James says the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a fire. In verse 6 there, it's a world of iniquity. "So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature." Sometimes our tongue gets us into trouble. In Mark 7:15, it gives the thought there of tongue being a window to the heart. Mark 7:15 says, "There is nothing," well, I say a window to the heart, it's the things that come out of us is what matters more than what goes into us. "There is nothing from without a man that entereth into him can defile him, But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. The things that we say matter. The things that we say matter. How do we treat gossip? Now, what I'm saying by gossip, I'm not talking about, there's some things that are fairly innocent, but then there's some things that are hurtful to people, but we tend to spread those because there's something about it that makes us feel good to be able to talk about somebody else's problems instead of our own. But how do we treat that? Are we the kind of person that manufactures things like that? And do we spread things like that? Do we love to hear it? Down here, a little farther in verse 11, it says, "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." And I think what he's saying here is, as a Christian, with our hearts, with our thoughts being controlled by the Holy Spirit, and our speech should be controlled by the Holy Spirit, do we speak Christ's words on Sunday? Do we speak other words on Monday? That's one application. And I'm sure there's other things, there's other analogies that you could make here. But one example that I thought of here, if I'm in church and we're having revival meetings, for example, and I have really been blessed. I've been blessed and challenged, and I feel like I can see areas I need to grow in, and I give testimony to this, and I'm really on fire for the Lord. It's on Sunday. Well, then I go home that night. And I see that my son left the shop window open, and it rained inside, and got my new whatever tool that I just bought wet. And so I'm out of sorts at this, and I go up to the house, and I see that my daughter left the door open, and the cats got in the house. It was raining outside, so they got in the house, and they're all over the house. And then on Monday, I go out and find that my wife forgot to turn the key off in the truck that she used on Saturday, and the battery's dead, and I'm already running late for work. How do I use my tongue then? That's a challenge, and that actually, parts of that has happened, but not all at the same time. That was a little bit of an exaggerated illustration. But how do we handle circumstances like that come? The other thing, that fountain here, sweet water and bitter. Sometimes we can put gasoline out instead of just bitter water. Sometimes we can have fresh water coming out, and sometimes we can spew gasoline, especially if there's a story that we feel needs to be shared with lots of people. Sometimes we can do that. For myself, I want to, with the tongue, as far as controlling the tongue, we need to keep our hearts yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit. Only then can we control it. Because the tongue, no man can tame that tongue, our tongue. Only by the Holy Spirit's power can we have victory over that. And when we fail, we need to be willing to accept the blame, accept the responsibility, and make it right. Apologize and make it right as best we can. In Colossians 4, verse 6, it says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man." Let your speech be always with grace and seasoned with salt. That gives the thought of seasoning your speech with salt, not having salty speech. Salt tends to bring out the flavor. It tends to make something that's bland tasteful. Salt, it tends to in the right proportion, salt is a useful agent to make food palatable. So let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. In the latter part of the verse here, the chapter, it says, "Who is a wise man? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you?" Are there any wise people among us? Am I a wise person? Do I know things? And the way we know if we're wise, we need to show out of a good lifestyle, a good conversation, our works with meekness of wisdom. "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth." This wisdom, if we have bitter envying and strife in our hearts, then the wisdom that we have does not come from above, but it's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Envying and strife is militates against the wisdom from above. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." That's a tall order there. The peaceable, pure, gentle, easy to be entreated. Sometimes that easy to be entreated is hard to do. "Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Not making a difference between people, but treating everyone alike and not thinking of ourselves higher than we ought to think. And then verse 18, I love this verse here. It says, "The fruit or the outworking of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." That fruit of righteousness starts from peacemakers making peace. That thought is, can we use our tongues to be peacemakers? Let's use our tongues to be peacemakers and to build up each other. We can use our tongues in a right way to increase instruction among us. Those of us that have wisdom, we can instruct those those younger ones. We can use our tongues to build up each other. If there's differences, let's make peace where we can. That the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So that's what I want to do in my own life, my heart. I want to yield my heart to the power of the Holy Spirit. I want God to work in my life and control my tongue, that I am not like this fire here that starts wood and burns down the house. Burning the house and the campfire will both keep you warm, but a campfire or a fire in the right place will keep you warm over and over, and burning the house down just keeps you warm once, but it causes a lot of damage. I believe that's all I have here. Let's stand for prayer.